Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 4 through to 14. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. So Jeremiah, he's the second most noted prophet in the Old Testament, behind Isaiah. And he ministered God's word in a time of the exile of Judah to Babylon. And throughout this time, he combated many issues within Israel, as well as questioning why his life was even worth living at times. And there is a message from our reading today that I believe applies to God's people in his present day as much as it did in Jeremiah's day. However, the context is obviously different. And as we look at this passage, it is important, as always, to look at the context first and foremost. So today we're going to spend a bit of time looking at this context of Jeremiah. And the passage that was read is only half of the letter that Jeremiah sent to those in exiles. Now, if we look at the context of it, we need to go back to Jeremiah chapter 26. And as we don't have time to read from Jeremiah chapter 26, you might want to note that down and do it as a bit of a study today or during the week that follows. But Jeremiah chapters 26 through to 29 records a period when Jeremiah is confronting another prophet, and other prophets, who are proclaiming words that were said to be of the Lord. So here they were in the temple, prophesying out to the people, saying, "Thus says the Lord." Now, Jeremiah doesn't actually call them a false prophet. In the Old Testament, if you've studied, you'll know that in the Old Testament, false prophets were prophets of other gods, such as the prophets of Baal. So you're with me on that? These prophets in Jeremiah's time were actually serving in the temple, as I said. But that doesn't necessarily make them a prophet who hears from God. And you can look in our society today, in the Christian world, and there will be people who come to you and they'll say, "God has told me this, and God says that." But is it true? Because there are people who like to peddle their own cause. And then they'll do that all in the name of the Lord. So what is happening then happens still today. But the way Israel and Judah had come to worship during this period was what the crux of the problem was. And we're just going to look into that so we can get an understanding of why Jeremiah wrote this letter to the people who were in exile in Babylon. So the aspect of worship became a problem in Judah. Instead of worshipping God, they were worshipping the temple. It became not a relationship, as was mentioned last week, but it just became a religious act. Now, we can come to church today, and what are we coming for? Are we coming to honour the church, the building, the way the building's set up? And in some churches, they have all this grand glasswork, and they have other things like eagles and, I don't know what you call them, statues and the like, as Shirley just said. And people think, oh, what a beautiful church. And that's probably rightly so to say that. It was always intended to be done in honour of God, just as the temple was built in the times of Jeremiah and others. But what happens is the people lose sight of God and they start worshipping the created rather than the creator. Now, doesn't that ring a bell with things today? So there's this parallel with the Old Testament, even with things that happen in our society today. People worshipping the created, whether it be a tree or a building or something, rather than the creator. And this was the problem that Jeremiah confronted, because what was happening, these prophets were doing their work as they said, we are prophesying in the name of the Lord. So they would be saying, thus says the Lord. And then they would speak out the words to the assembly. And those that were there would be all excited. What a great word. But it wasn't the word for them. Do you think that can happen here today? So Jeremiah's message was to turn away from their temple worship and seek God in the way that he ordained. So in chapters 26, we first encounter a fella by the name of Hananiah, and he's one of these prophets. And you can picture the assembly at the temple, and the prophets of the Lord are there. And Hananiah speaks up, and he says, in 2 years, God will lift the yoke off of his people that Nebuchadnezzar had placed on them, and he will return you to this place of Jerusalem. Now, if you were a remnant that was left and worshipping in the temple, I'd suggest you'd be pretty excited about that, wouldn't you? But Jeremiah turns around and he says to Hananiah, I really hope that what you have said comes to pass. But this is what the Lord says. Before the year is out, you will not see another day. And that's how it came to pass. Other things happened. Jeremiah put a yoke over his own shoulders, and Hananiah broke that yoke off him with another prophecy, another false prophecy. Can you imagine someone comes into Albury, is mingling amongst the churches and says, This is what the Lord says. I'm not going to make up anything, but you can get the gist of what I'm saying. Too often we pay attention to the external input that might sound good. But I think that within Albury, with any city where God has placed his servants to be, that he has given them a direction that he intends for the city. That doesn't mean to say that someone can't speak a word. I'm not saying that everybody who comes in as a guest speaker or anything is wrong, but I'm just trying to put across how the correlation between what was happening in the Old Testament still happens amongst us today. Jesus also talks about problems of listening to people who may not be speaking exactly what the Lord would want him to speak. In Matthew 24, Jesus warns us about false prophets in the end times, and he says, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumours of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. As this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." When we read those words of Jesus, when we look at what's happening in our society today, it could even give us reason to think, "How long, O Lord? How long before you come?" But we need to be aware. And down through the last 100 years, there's been plenty of people who have said that Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And that's true, but when they say he's coming back on the 15th of January or something like that, you know we've got a problem, don't you? Because we've missed the boat. And of course, all around the world, there's those false prophets saying things like that. So really, what happens in our world today is not much different to what happened in Jeremiah's world. The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves." This isn't what I'm saying, this is what the Word of God is saying. And do you believe it today? Do you believe every aspect of God's Word is relevant to us today, that can be applied to us? We always need to be aware of the possibility that people will come with their own agenda rather than God's agenda and declare it as being of God, just as Hananiah did at the time of the exile. The things in our present day that are affected by false teaching or false prophets would be wide and varied. But one area is that of lifestyle. And I just wanted to spend some time addressing that today. At times I think that Christians are so naive as they swallow every good or great sounding teaching that comes along. They spend little time in God's word, little time in prayer, and little time in relationship. I don't want to embarrass anybody here, but I speak to people during the week and I say, "How's your Bible reading going?" And they shake their head. "How's your prayer life going?" Again, they shake their head. "How are you going?" "I'm going okay." "Don't you think something would be better if you prayed, if you read God's word?" Rather than just listening to the good sounding things that come your way as you listen to somebody on the TV or on some cassette or CD or whatever, how's your personal relationship going with God? That's what's important. Relationship. Abiding. We've heard this over the last 3 weeks. And if you're not in a good, right relationship with God or with your fellow brothers and sisters, if you're not abiding in the vine, then you may as well be listening to somebody just like Hananiah, who said, "Everything will be all right in a couple of years. God will take care of Nebuchadnezzar." Is there any Nebuchadnezzars in your life? Maybe it's time to wake up. Grab hold of God, not just on Sunday, but on every day. Grab hold of his word, read it, devour it, and apply it to your life. Because I could have just got up here this morning and said, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you." And you would have thought, "Oh, isn't that a lovely word? God wants to prosper me." But he also wants your attention. When something comes along that sounds good, and we don't test the word or the spirit, and we find that we're not going anywhere in our walk with God, we only have ourselves to blame. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, the apostle writes, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." In the time that I've been in ministry over the last 4 years here at the River Community Church, I can say that I don't hear many people speaking from a philosophical way. I hear people speaking from biblical truth. And that is a real positive about this fellowship. But because I'm in ministry, I get to talk to a lot of other people. And maybe it's somebody who's going to a church and they didn't hear what they wanted to hear from their pastor, so they come and ask me a few questions, as if that's going to make any difference. So what I see is a lot of Christians talking about their rights to do things that God says we shouldn't do. You with me? Because picture this. Divorce, how bad that is, how terrible it is when somebody in a relationship where it's broken down and they separate. The next thing you know, he or she are in another relationship. Do you know what the Bible calls that? Well, a few of you do. Do you think God is pleased about that? Because what I hear is people saying that I have rights to be pleased. I have rights to be happy. They're not looking to God for happiness. They're looking for pleasure. That is why their relationship with God is struggling, because they've put pleasure before God. That's just one instance. There are many instances where people will talk about the rights that they have. But what does God say? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge me in all of your ways, he says, and I will make your path straight. If there is a time when a separation happens, as sad as it is, why not just put your trust in God? And if that is not restored, allow God to lead you where he would want you to be. There's somebody else in that situation at the moment, and I just said to them, you've been so faithful for so long, waiting for restoration in your relationship. And now, because it looks the way it is, I just said to the person, don't go out looking for another relationship. Continue to wait on God. And you know, to that person's credit, they said, yeah, I know, that's what I've got to do. That is how a Christian should respond to that situation. It's not a matter of if it feels good, do it, is it? Although, for some, that's what it might be. There is much that was happening in Jerusalem in the time of Jeremiah that is not at all much different to today. And when it comes to moral behaviour and things of pleasure in this current day, it is the focus of self that lead people to respond in a way that is not godly. Yet what is pleasing or sounding like a good outcome is not always beneficial for us either. And back in Jeremiah, this Hananiah character, as a prophet of the Lord, telling the people of Israel that they would be delivered within 2 years of exile, and that Nebuchadnezzar's yoke would be broken off them, and all the temple articles, as I said, I was talking about, you know, the things that we worship or whatever in church, would be returned to the temple. So in his prophecy, the things that were important to him was in relation to temple worship. He was telling them what was pleasing to their ear at the time. Sounds great. And if we were the Israelites today, we would probably be excited by that as well. But on the other side of the floor, right there in the temple, was Jeremiah, as I said earlier. And Jeremiah said, no, this is what the Lord says. He spoke that word, and Hananiah's demise came to pass within the year. So when we hear a message that is preached and how we respond to that message depends on our right relationship with God. Because whether it's me or somebody else, you know, don't kill the messenger. It's you've got to go to God. You've got to get your life right with him. You've got to say, well, Lord, is there anything in my life that I'm feeling a bit awkward today because of things that have been said? I'm not talking about today, I'm talking about any day. And any time that you do feel awkward about what is said, you don't kill the messenger, you actually say, well, God, is there something in this? Please show me. Be open to God, to the Holy Spirit, to minister to you. Because as we draw closer to getting back into this letter, God does have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. But some of us are so far off the mark, we're wondering what that plan and purpose is. But if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us, and we will be in relationship with him. We'll be able to respond to him and see his will done in our lives. So far this morning, we've done a bit of hermeneutics, but we can now move back to our reading. Can I ask you, who do you put your hope and trust in? Is it this church building? Is it the denomination of Churches of Christ? Or is it Jesus Christ himself? Amen. The Israelites found their safety, their belief system, not in God, but in worshipping the temple. They worshipped, as I said earlier, the created rather than the creator. Today, if you're putting your trust in the church rather than in Jesus, I want to challenge you. This is a good place to come to, don't get me wrong. But it's not about the church. It's about the Lord, isn't it? So let's go back to our reading. Verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And it goes on. This is a great word to be receiving, isn't it? And I would say that when we look at this word, even though in the context, it's in relation to what Jeremiah was dealing with and that he had to send this letter to the exiles. And why? Because if you go back to verse 10, the verse before he launches into that wonderful passage, he says, this is what the Lord says, when 70 years, well, I would rather have Hananiah's 2 years, wouldn't you? When 70 years are completed for Babylon, wow, that's a hard word. My mum and dad would be dead and buried within that time. I'm 40 myself now. I don't know what the average age was back in those days, but I'll never get to see Jerusalem again. Boy, that is a hard word to take. You think about it. 70 years. But we're working backwards now. We're going back through the letter because what God said to the people is what I believe he says to us even today. In verse 5, build houses and settle down. Who's building a house at the moment? Oh, there's a couple. You're right in the queue here with what the passage of Scripture says. Who's planting gardens at the moment and eating what they produce? Who's getting married in the moment? Woo! Rowdy. And having sons and daughters? You know, I've been talking a bit about, can't even remember the relevance to it, but it's sort of relevant, so I might just put it out there today. About being married and having children, sons and daughters. And there was a story that goes back some 20-odd years ago. And there was a woman ministering somewhere, and somebody told me that she was teaching out of Genesis. And she said, when she got to the word of go forth and multiply, she said, well, we've done that. And, you know, I can get the humour of that, that it's sort of like saying, okay, women, we've, you know, gone forth and multiplied. We don't have to have any more babies. But without being disrespectful to the woman, yeah, I know, I put my foot in it last week. The situation is this. 20-odd years ago, around the world, we were being told we've got to cut down how many children are being born. Do you remember that period of time? Because they were talking about the world won't cope with the population. So that's outside of the church, but within the church you've got a woman joking about a passage of scripture. So when you hear the two together, you might think, oh yeah, well, hubby, from now on, it's one of us that's got to go to the chemist. Hear me out. What has happened today is that families are having, statistics this is, less children in the Western world than what is required to maintain not just the population, but to maintain a culture. So if what was spoken 20-odd years ago now has an effect on society today, that in the white Anglo-Saxon Western world, the average of two children is now down to something like 1.7 or something, and it needs to be 2.6 or something like that per family. Now everyone in the Western society is running around concerned about, what's the number one concern to you today? Nobody's got any concerns. Terrorists. Scott, you're on the ball. What's the major religion of Satan? Islam. I'm happy to say that. I don't care what anyone thinks. How many children are they having? Yeah. So we're wondering why there's all this growth in the Islamic population, and there it is. It's not just because there's refugees coming out to Australia, it's because when they come, they're making babies. And what's happening all over the world is they're making babies. They don't really have to worry about terrorism because after a period of time, these Westerners are so much asleep, they go to the chemist every week and they don't do anything about procreating. They just look after their little nest egg. And in so doing, we'll be outbred in numbers. And the Christian culture will suffer just as much that way as it will from extremist Islamists. That's my opinion anyway. So what does this word say? What did God say at the time of creation? Go forth and multiply. If you're young enough today, go forth and multiply. That's what we need to be saying. Have I got any contenders for that? Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too will have sons and daughters. That's a pattern that's there in the word. That to sustain a population, to sustain Israel, they had to multiply in captivity. If we're captive to the world and we're not multiplying, go figure. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Now we aren't in exile here, but we're here in Albury Wodonga. Who prays for the city? Good. Now we have corporate prayer on Thursdays, and part of that is to pray for the city. And next month we're going to be doing more preaching on prayer. Because God wants his people to be a people of prayer. He wants his church to be a house of prayer. He wants all of us to come to him in prayer. And we're going to be talking about ways and means that we can fulfill that we can encourage each one of you to become prayer warriors, not prayer warriors. Because prayer warriors only pray when something was worrying them. Prayer warriors take God's kingdom into the streets. And that's what we're about. Well, I'm saying that on your behalf. Is that okay? So pray to the Lord for the city, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. You know, there's been a lot of people, and I'm not saying whether they're false teachers or false prophets or whatever, but over the years, and they've just got one bent, and it's called prosperity ministry. And they say, you know, if you do this, if you give me your money, I know God's going to bless you. If you've experienced that, anyone? But I'll tell you, if you give from your heart to God, if you follow what his agenda is in this city, he will bless you. In fact, I would challenge anyone to say that God isn't blessing them in their life today. You might be having times of trouble, tribulation, but I'm sure that you can find something and say, yes, God is blessing me today. And as you look, you might find another thing that you can say, yes, God is blessing me. God wants us to look and acknowledge him in what he is doing in our lives. So as we can see from this passage in Jeremiah 29 today, there's more to it than verse 11 through to 14. There's more to it when we look at the context and understand what is going on around that time of Jeremiah. And we can see parallels to it in our society today. So the thing is, what do you see when you read God's word? Is it something that is relevant to you? I think we had something, the title of this message is the word of relevance or something. It's disappeared. So is God's word relevant to you today? That's what I want to ask. And if it's not, may I encourage you to begin afresh. Begin a reading plan. Now, we provide a reading plan on the prayer diary, which you would have received as an insert in the newsletter. It helps you to pray and read. And that's all it's there for. And as you pray and read, you become part of a community that God is working through, working with, to bring about his kingdom purposes. And there might be hard, tough times, as Jeremiah has said, but in those hard, tough times, we just need to keep doing what he has asked us to do. And if you don't know what that is, then you just have to go to the word here that we've even shared from today and apply that to your life. Let us pray.